This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast. All right. So glad you're joining us for the Best Day Ever podcast today. And I'm really excited to introduce a guest that we have on the show. Her name is Barb Roos. She is a popular speaker and author who is passionate about equipping women to win at life with Christ-empowered strength and dignity. Since 2005, Barb has been speaking to audiences in the U.S. and abroad, including national platforms such as the Aspire Women's Events, She Speaks Conference, and the UMC Leadership Institute. Barb is the author of her latest release, Surrendered, Letting Go, and Living Like Jesus Bible Study, and a brand new devotional book, Surrendered, 40 Devotions to Help You Let Go and Live Like Jesus. My favorite thing about Barb, she's a Bible teacher who loves following God more than anything in life. And Barb makes God's word come alive through powerful teaching, personal stories, and practical next steps. And that last part is what I am most excited about, because you know, on the Best Day Ever podcast, I want to give you practical things to help you live your best day every day in Jesus. And I am super excited for what Barb is here to talk about today. Barb, hello.
Hello. Good morning, my friend, or good day, my friend.
Good day. Have you had your coffee? Are you a coffee drinker, Barb?
I am a tea drinker.
Okay. Hot tea or cold tea?
I am a hot tea drinker, and it became something that's just more of a ritual in my life. I am too much if I have coffee. I am way too extra. So tea helps me bring it down a little.
I want to go have coffee with you now. I just want to see what that's like.
I am the definition of extra with caffeine. I have two cups of coffee a week, and it's mainly because I just love the ritual of sitting in the Starbucks line and getting a cup of coffee. Yes. Yes. Because when you're sitting in the Starbucks line, it's anticipation.
Okay. So then I have to ask, what is your Starbucks drink? Are you like this, that, and the other, and all the special things, or are you straightforward, like right off the menu?
I get the same drink every single time. It is a tall, hot mocha, non-fat milk with whip.
Okay. Okay. So I have to tell the story really fast, but my husband is one of those people that goes to Starbucks and he won't say the Starbucks words. So he tells them he wants like a small, and he knows what he's doing. And so I will not go through a Starbucks line with him because I'm just embarrassed. So,
he asks for a, oh my gosh, yes. That has to be, oh, and he, and like, he won't say like half calf or venti or any of those things.
No, he won't. And I think if he would get on board, I think he would really like it because he loves flavored. He will not drink just regular coffee. So I think it could be a good thing for him if he'll just get past all of the new language. But anyway, Barb, so I was so excited because for our listening audience, I asked Barb when I was telling her about the Best Day Ever podcast and what we're here to do, I asked her if she had any hurdles in her everyday life that she just kind of kept bumping into or falling over that would keep her from having her best day ever with Jesus every day. And then I asked her, if you have those, what has God given you? What tools has He given you along the way to help you get over those hurdles? And she has some really great practical wisdom for us. So Barb, I know you told me first about a Bible verse. What verse was that?
It is Luke 16:10. And this is a verse that wasn't a part of my growing up years. I mean, I grew up in the church. My mom was a Bible teacher. I worked for a church for a very long time, a large church in spiritual growth and development. But this verse came out of a season in my life about a decade ago when I could just barely put one foot in front of the other. And because I didn't want to get trapped in this idea of having to do more for God, I needed to just find a simple way to stay focused on who Jesus was. And so Jesus' words in Luke 16:10 said, if you are faithful in the small things, you will be faithful in the large ones. But if you're dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And that verse ministered to me. I know it sounds like you're like, wait, what? But it was a season of life when I had to coach myself every day to stay focused on God. And I couldn't, there were no large leaps of faith. I literally just had to keep breathing, but I wanted to keep breathing in and out Jesus. And so I just began concentrating. What does it mean for me to be faithful in the little things?
Well, and I love that concept. You know, what's fun is that the very first podcast is about big moments and small moments and how God uses them all. And so this just is just a very practical next step from that, from what we learned at that in that first podcast episode. But what I love what you're saying is, you know, we're talking about a time in your life where the idea, you know, this, the idea of the title of this podcast, Best Day Ever, was really a pipe dream, you know, if you will. And so for you to stop and say, you don't want to just keep trudging through that season unexpectedly. You don't want to just sit in that and forget that God is still God and that there is still purpose for these days, for this season. I think that's a really, I love that you did that. And I love that you're willing to share that that's a real thing, you know, because sometimes even as Christians, it's almost like we can feel like we're not allowed to say that. We're not allowed to be like, well, it's just a tough season right now. These are just a tough string of days where the idea of having a good day doesn't really seem possible. And it's okay when we get into those seasons. And yet, because you still trusted God in it, you found a way to wake up every day, not necessarily expectant of a circumstance change, but expectant of God being God in your life on that day. And the verse that, you know, we talk about is that this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so it sounds like that's what your heart position was. Okay, this is the day the Lord has made. So then tell me a little bit about what he taught you, some of the things that you learned to do in those days.
My basic personality bent is to follow rules, that if I do all of the right things, then I will have a certain outcome. And I don't know if your listeners can resonate with that, especially when it comes to walking in with God, that we've got just this little legalistic corner of our heart that says, if we pray hard enough, if we do all the right things, God will fix our situations. But we all face situations, like you said, where that doesn't happen, where we have these hard seasons. And I had to make a choice before Luke 16:10. I had to let go of control. There was a very difficult circumstance that was unfolding in my life. I couldn't do anything about it. And it was an addiction issue of a loved one. And I tried to fix it. I tried to force solutions. I tried all of the control-loving things that I talk about in my Bible study. And after I beat my head up against the wall, after I melted down 500,000 times, then instead of do more and to do, the question was, what does it look like instead to be faithful to a God who keeps his promises? So faithful meant that I had to say, okay, what does God want to do for me? What does he want me to receive? Being faithful is more receptive than it is doing things. And so that then led me over to Mark 12:30, where Jesus says, you must love the Lord with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. And it is in that love relationship with God that I realized that I received from him. I was able to receive peace. I could receive joy. I could receive comfort. I could receive grace and mercy in a time in life when I couldn't change anything. So that faithfulness put me in the place to be able to receive from God what I needed.
So then, I mean, first of all, I totally get, you know, the wiring that you're talking about of following the rules and almost like the checklist. Okay, I've done it all. I've done this, 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 and this. So I'm good with God, you know? And so then since I've been able to check all the boxes on this list, then I can ask God for something, or I can trust him for something, or, you know, we're in good standing, so it'll all be okay. I totally get that. And I know that there are some listening who do. But even for the ones who don't, I think this idea of receiving from God can still be foreign, you know, where it just feels like every day it's more about what we do than it is about what we receive. And it can almost, I think just as women, we just wake up and do things. I mean, I don't know if all women are like this, but most of the ones I meet, it's just, we wake up, okay, what are we doing today? We're doing this, 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 and this. And every day just starts with, what are we doing today? So this is a bit of a radical idea to wake up and instead of starting every morning with, what am I doing today? It's more like starting every morning with, love the Lord your God with all your heart. I mean, that's a very different shift. Even if it's not, what am I doing for God? Even if it's just what's on my calendar of things to do today, because I think a lot of us have that. We move from one thing to the next all day long. And what we don't begin with is, God, how I want to love you today and I want to receive from you today. So I feel like we have heard some really great, maybe thought shifting, you know, day approaching changes. But then the next question becomes, okay, how do we do this? What are some things that we can do so that it's not just something we talk about, it's something that we can put into practice?
Very much so. And I love the reflection that you have about our tendency to focus on what we can do. What it came down to for me was, before I could do anything practical, there was an acceptance that if I got up and immediately began doing things, then I would put the weight of everything that was happening in my life on me. So doing often led to trying to control. It often led to desperation. It led to disappointment. It led to, even when I was trying to do really good things. So there had to be a place where I had to just stop and go, I can't, but God can, and I will let him. Mm-hmm. Then at that point, I would be more willing to receive. And so that reception, when it comes to loving God with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul, my strength, I began first with a reward, because I am human. And I would love to tell you, after 14 years of being an on-staff church ministry, 5 years being a full-time Christian speaker and author, I've been a Christian my whole life, I'd love to tell you that I would wake up and naturally want to do Bible study. No, that is not a natural part of who I am. It's a discipline that I have developed. Mm-hmm. And so for everybody out there who feels like, I don't love doing Bible study, honey, join the club.
I mean, can we just say, like, I don't like to brush my teeth. Like, that's annoying. Right. I just wish they were clean. But it's a discipline, right? Because we know that it's important and we need to do it. And so it's okay to discipline yourself in Bible study.
It is. And the discipline comes from the life that I receive from it. But this was a game changer for me. I had to begin with a reward in mind. And when I talk about reward, I didn't need to go to the store. What I needed was to say, okay, Barb, how do you create an incentive for yourself to do the faithful things that will let you receive from God? For me, it came down to a cup of chai tea. And I know that sounds crazy, but this is how it unfolds. When I sit down and have a cup of chai tea, there's something about the smell of the spices, the sweetness and the tanginess on my tongue, just watching the vapor of the heat rise up from the cup, I love pretty cups. All of that coming together, it just did something for me each day that blessed me. So I worked back from there. So when I woke up in the morning, I would think about my cup of chai tea, and then I tied my Bible study to that cup of chai tea. And what that allowed me to do was to pair up something that I knew was good for me spiritually with an immediate reward. So when I woke up, I would make sure to grab my Bible study and I would make my cup of chai tea. And it would be something that just nourished and nurtured me. And before that, I would make myself work out, because part of loving God with all of my strength was making sure that my body was well. Many of us right now are struggling spiritually because physically our bodies are hurting and are tired. And I learned this during our long season of that addiction struggle. I realized that I physically had to sleep well, eat well, and work my body well for me to feel like I had the emotional energy to pray. Some of us are a walk away from a better spiritual life. And that makes sense, Katie?
Oh my goodness, because I'll tell you, one of the things that I, a discipline, a habit that I got into that blessed me and helped me grow spiritually was sometimes just taking a step outside. You know, for a long time, I homeschooled my kids and we were all in the house together all day, every day, day after day after day. And I found that even just stepping out the back door, sometimes just for 5 minutes, and then just feeling that warmth, letting the sun shine on my face, those even minutes were a bit of a reset for me physically and emotionally. And because I could reset physically and emotionally, I felt stronger spiritually. But now I have a little more time on my hands. My kids are a little bit older. I love to take a short walk, really kind of at the dusk of the day. And it is amazing how much moving your body can refresh your soul. It's very interesting, that connection, but I totally agree with what you said. Some of us are just one walk away. And even when you walk, I would encourage you to be super intentional about your thoughts during that time, because we can walk and we can still keep all those thoughts just tumbling over themselves, whatever those, you know, burdensome thoughts or to-dos that are in our minds, we can keep those with us, or we can let that movement be a time where we intentionally give our brain some space to breathe, give our thoughts some space to be still, and allow God to encourage us during those walks.
That is, that you totally walked right into the next part I was going to say. This actually is in the category of the small things. When we are facing pressure, when we are facing stress, a lot of anxiety, things we can't control, taking a walk goes into the list of small things. And a very small thing that I did was I would grab my phone and headphones and I would listen to worship music, but most often Rick Warren sermons, because Rick Warren sounded like what my dad would have sounded like if my dad was a preacher. So you can pick whoever you want to, but that was a small thing that I did that was life-giving to me in the midst of circumstances that I couldn't change or control. And the walks themselves varied. I just walked in my neighborhood. It didn't cost me anything. I didn't have to, there was no money. I didn't have to get in the car. If you've got small kids, you can put a child in a stroller, or you can grab the hand of a preschooler or a toddler. But to take that walk, and it allows you in a small way to take yourself out of whatever that environment you need to in the moment, and you can create a place to connect with God. And again, going back to the reward, sometimes the reward is something tangible like a cup of tea, but often the reward is much more internal, where you just have the sense of wellness that you did something that drew you closer to Christ.
That's so good. And that, I mean, I find that knowing that I have connected with Jesus is, if I can have a time every day where I can point to and say, I connected with Jesus. That is what I need to get through the day and then look forward to it the next day.
Yes, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. And so the practical part of having what I call my morning routine, that is the end goal. When I know that each day I spent time with Christ, that is the end goal that gives me life because I was able to receive what I needed. But the practical pieces of it don't feel spiritual, but they do get us to the goal. So that first thing is I create whatever the reward is. For me, it's tea. For someone else, it could be a variety of things. The second thing I do is I tie that reward to what's going to help me receive from God. So that is working out and Bible study. And then I make the commitment to myself not to be perfect, but to keep showing up each day. And if I falter on a day, I get back up, but I make a commitment to myself to do it. So choose the reward, tie it to what's going to allow you to receive from God. And the third is to make that commitment to keep showing up.
And I love how you said there, Barb, because, you know, we don't all have the morning routine available to us. You know, maybe you work a night shift somewhere and everybody else's morning is your, I just got off work and it's time for me to go to bed. Maybe you have infants that are up during the night. And so morning is just not your best time. You know, we all have different rhythms. So it doesn't have to be a morning routine for you. But what Barb has just said, and this pick a reward, tie it to how you will receive from God, and then be committed to it, that you can do that at any time. For me, for the longest, it was nap time when I had all my kiddos at home all day, every day, and we were homeschooling, and we had a nap time or a quiet time at our house. And that was the time that I had to commit to something like this. And, you know, maybe for you, it's right before bed. Some of us right before bed are not available in our minds. We are just going to bed. But some of us are night owls. And that's when we really, our brains really start clicking and they're engaged. And so maybe you like to read the Bible right before you go to bed or something like that. It can be personal to you, but Barb, you've just given us such a great framework to kind of get us off the blank page. You know, if you're just there and you don't know where to start, this is such a great framework to begin with.
The beautiful part of it all is knowing that when we receive, that's going to be the blessing. But God gives us the opportunity to create whatever that looks like. So thank you for casting a vision for all of the different ways that this can happen. But it doesn't matter how it happens. It just matters that you look and go, okay, what does it look like for me to receive from God? And how do I need to show up and keep doing it? But that we don't get locked in to then the other end of it going, oh, I didn't show up today and I didn't receive from God today. No. You know what? God is bigger than that. He is much bigger than that. What we want to stay focused on is just going, I'm going to create what is necessary in the routine and we're going to flex it as we need to, but we're going to keep showing up. We're going to keep coming back.
And I think another thing that I love about this is that, I mean, I think we can all think of a time where we were like, I'm going to do, you know, fill in your blank. But all we ever did was say, I'm going to do it. And then how often when we just say, I'm going to do something, does it ever happen unless we make a plan to do it? And I mean, I am kind of the queen at that. I'm going to do a lot of things. But if it doesn't go on my calendar, it doesn't happen. So if we don't make a plan, I mean, even a silly example I have of this is I got one of those, you know, Fitbit watches for Christmas, and I felt really good about my activity level until I put that Fitbit on my arm and realized I'm not taking a lot of steps. Apparently, I'm doing a lot of sitting. But it's not until we make a plan that we are more inclined to accomplish what we want. And so we can say, I want to connect to Jesus. I want to spend time with him. But it always helps to have a plan. So it doesn't become, like you said, legalistic. I have to. This is another thing I check off my box. It just becomes a tool in our hands so that we make the room for what we want to make the room for. And then it can be flexible. Another thing I like to say is flexible routine, because you need the routine, you need the plan. But I think as women, if we don't allow some amount of flexibility in there, then we become very discouraged because we can't show up every day because something happens that we didn't know was going to happen. Or even our seasons change and what worked in one season doesn't work in another season. And all of that is okay, because every day is a day that the Lord has made, and every day he knows the ebb and the flow of what is a part of that day. And there is room in every day to connect to Jesus. And that's what we're talking about here. How do we do that? So Barb, will you go over those three steps one more time?
Absolutely. The first is find the reward. Whatever it is that it's small, that it's an incentive, it's something that you can look forward to. And for me, it was a cup of chai tea. For others, it may be a beautiful cup of coffee. For others, it might be stretching, taking a walk, what have you. But find whatever that reward is. And then the second is you want to tie that reward to what will give you life. So it is prayer or Bible study. You can, like Katie said, in some seasons of life, it may be a message that you're listening to as you're driving the kids to school, but whatever it is that you need to receive from God, figure out what that looks like in the season of life. And then the third is to make a commitment to just keep showing up. Yes, there's going to be seasons where things are just going to be a little off their rocker, but those seasons, they're still in the place of those seasons where you can find a rhythm. We know when our kids are not going to sleep through the night. We know when our work schedules are changed, but you can create a rhythm even around the unpredictability. We still find time to make meals. Even when schedules change, we still find time to go to the grocery store. We can find time to do this because, again, the end result is when we receive from God, that gives us what we need to make it the best day ever.
Yes, I love it, Barb. Wow, this has been so good. And I know that those listening have been so blessed by this. Barb, thank you for sharing your time with us. Thank you for sharing your heart with us. And thank you for sharing this wisdom with us. I am excited for what this will do in every one of our lives as we prioritize receiving from the Lord so that every day can be our best day ever. Thank you so much, Barb.
Well, Katie, thank you. I love having a chance to talk about this with you.
All right. We'll see y'all next time.